Welcome back to the Toad Isovers podcast. My name is Adam Fosley, and I'm your host. Joining me today are Amy Morris and Milo Draub to talk about virtual events. Milo, you recently had your bar mitzvah virtually, and I thought this would be a great opportunity to get some insight from the both of you. Before we begin, make sure to check out our virtual event guide episode to learn how to host your own online celebration or event. Thanks for being on this episode, Amy and Milo. Can you just tell us when you first knew that you wanted to do the bar mitzvah virtually and the approach that you took to planning it in such a short time?
So I think we probably knew that we were going to do the event as soon as we know we'd be sheltering in place. But at the start, we were thinking there would be like a drive-through where people could like still throw candy, but from the safety of their cars. And I would say before shelter in place, we thought we were going to do it with just a lot less people. Yeah. And like hand sanitizer and gloves at every table.
Yeah, we sort of started, scaling. So Milo's bar mitzvah was on March 22nd. And by pretty early in March, we were already thinking about ways that we were going to need to scale back because of concerns about COVID-19. So we had already sort of reduced the guest list and reduced the approach for the in-person event that we were planning. We were going to make it shorter, have fewer people, you know, do a lot of things to be careful about cleanliness and food and just, you know, anything that might expose people to the virus. But then as we got closer to shelter in place, and then once the official shelter in place order went into effect, we definitely knew that there was no in-person event that we'd be able to do. And by that point, I feel like we had a lot of momentum toward doing the event on time. And so I think it would have felt really disappointing to postpone it, especially since we didn't know how long we would need to postpone it for. So, yeah. You know, so we started just figuring out how we could really quickly turn it into a virtual event using Zoom. And I had had the experience just the week before we needed to make that decision, where I had had a big in-person meeting that I was supposed to lead for work in Colorado. And the day before that big in-person workshop was going to happen, they had decided that they needed to do that remotely. And so, you know, within a day or so, I needed to transition this in-person workshop that had all kinds of small groups and, you know, interactive aspects to it to an online Zoom format. So I had just had some experience with organizing and managing an online event that was sort of a similar. So I was pretty.
Were there any problems that you ran into when you were scheduling or posting the bar mitzvah digitally?
When we were starting to do our bar mitzvah digitally, we found out that we couldn't have two people singing at the same time, which really scrambled up like the entire bar mitzvah. Like people couldn't sing at the same time.
Right, because the way that we had been planning to do it was that Milo would be leading this with the service leader and singing together with him in front of all the people that were attending. And so since we weren't able to have people in two different locations sing simultaneously over Zoom, we had to figure out how to do it back and forth. And so we ended up having the service officiant Isaac Zones lead a lot of the songs just by himself from his house and have people sing along from their houses. And then we also took on leading some of the songs ourselves so that we would break that up a little bit. And we took a few things out of the bar mitzvah service that we were planning to do in person as well. So that was definitely the biggest technical obstacle. We also realized when we were transitioning to doing the Zoom format that we had a lot of family members who weren't really comfortable with using Zoom. And so, you know, we did a run through, and then we did some sort of one-on-one technical assistance with a especially with some of our older relatives, to just make sure that everybody that we wanted to be able to participate was able to participate. Because we ended up having a lot of people there. I haven't tried to actually total it up exactly because it was a little difficult to know exactly how many people were on each account.
I think we had about 80 devices.
We had 88 devices.
Yeah, 88 devices, but a lot of those people had, like, a lot of family members with them. Like, we have some cousins who have, like, 6 siblings.
That's true. So, yeah, I think that there were between 150 and 200 people probably participating remotely. And, you know, that was actually one of the advantages of doing it that way, was that there were definitely some of those people who were able to participate in the Zoom format that would not have been able to participate in the in-person.
Well, I think you guys did a very good job at making it engaging, though, you know. I mean, for my bar mitzvah, we were trying to make it as engaging as possible already, and then when you did yours over Zoom, I mean, I still felt that we were able to participate. I know we went through similar training, so to some extent, the content that was in the survey, we would, but I think still you got everyone to participate really well. When you were able to pin the video and do some featured guests and speeches from really all over the country was really nice. And from witnessing it personally, I can say that it was fantastic. You were still able to convey, you know, this meaning and emotion that, and everything on the technology side worked out well. How do you think it went overall?
I thought that it went great. I mean, it wasn't as good as if it could have been in person, but I think it went better than we expected it to go. Like, a lot of people came that wouldn't be able to come if we had had it in person, and my brother still got to drop candy on my head.
Yeah, and I think, you know, for me, I think it was every bit as emotional as it would have been in person. And maybe, honestly, because of the context where we had just started sheltering in place and things seemed especially kind of tender and uncertain, like, that, you know, that may have heightened the emotion. People were really looking for an opportunity to connect with each other. And, you know, we did definitely want it to not just be something that we recorded as a performance and then shared with people. We wanted it to be really participatory. It's important to us to have, you know, different people giving readings, you know, show different people doing the hand motions, to, you know, some of the songs, you know, show people, you know, bobbing their heads and singing along. Like, it was really nice to see and feel that participation from other people. And then, you know, I also used some things that I use my work, which involves a lot of meeting facilitation and thinking through how to get people engaged in meetings. So, you know, we used breakout groups at the beginning and the end of the service so that people could, you know, greet each other and chat. And we did this interactive polling slide when we were doing the candy throwing so that everybody could answer a question about what they think of when they think about Milo. And so it generated this word cloud, which is a really nice memento for us to have of all these sweet things that people said about Milo.
I thought that it wasn't really a digital tool, but we had this one big computer that we had in front of us so you could see the whole room. And then we had two smaller computers so you could see, like, individual people.
Yeah, that's true. We did a couple of technical rehearsals with some friends. One focused on audio and one focused on video to kind of figure out the right setup room and audio. What audio to use so that people could hear us best from different parts of the space.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I think it was nice to see multiple monitors as well.
It did. Our Zoom did crash at one point, but we were able to get back on pretty quickly, and it, you know, didn't kick everybody else off, so that was good.
Yeah. So, in the end, after you've done, it seems like a couple of different virtual events now, what would you recommend to someone who, you know, wants to host a virtual event in the wake of this crisis or take their event online? You know, where should they get started?
Well, I think they should definitely use Zoom. That was really a big part of us still being able to do our bar mitzvah.
Yeah, that was a good platform. You know, I would say, you know, the things that we really tried to think about are sort of what are the most important pieces of the in-person event that we want to try to replicate in the virtual version, and then, you know, think about what you can do to accommodate that, and then maybe try to jettison some of the things that aren't quite as important from the in-person event that might not work as well in the remote format. So, you know, we really wanted, you know, to convey the meaning of the day, and we wanted to see and interact with our family. And so we really focused on those pieces of it and, you know, tried to scale back on some of the other things that we were thinking about. And honestly, you know, there were lots of details and complicated logistics for the in-person event, you know, things related to the event site and, you know, different kinds of things that we were going to do to entertain people and the food and all of those things. And, you know, once we had to do the virtual version, it really kind of clarified what felt most important to us about the bar mitzvah. And I think we were still able to make those things happen. Although Milo would have really liked to have people be able to throw candy at him in person. That felt like a big loss.
In the long term, do you see, whether it's you guys, your family, or just in general, people going more to do these kind of big celebrations or important milestones and choosing to do that on a virtual platform rather than doing such a big gathering in person?
Question. I just think big sort of life cycle milestone events like bar mitzvahs and weddings, it's probably still always going to be, or funerals, it's probably still always going to be ideal to do those in person, just because there's nothing like the immediacy and the intimacy of actually being with somebody in the same space and being able to actually touch them. But I think, you know, outside of those like really important milestone and life cycle events, I think there are lots of things that you can do this way that, and there are lots of advantages to doing that from a logistics standpoint and from an environmental standpoint. I mean, for my work, I've historically been doing a lot of travel places and lead big meetings, and you know, having clients be doing that remotely and not having to travel is great. And I think that there are lots of positive things and lots of ways that it can be more efficient to do those things remotely. But it's still harder to sort of build relationships and build trust over, you know, online or over the phone rather than connecting with people in person. So I don't think it's ever going to completely replace it. What do you think, Milo?
Yeah, I don't think it could ever completely replace it, but I think it was closer to replacing the actual thing than it would have been if it was just a few people that I saw.
Yeah, right. Having a lot of people participate was part of what felt meaningful to you.
Yeah.
Yeah. And you just got a lot of like wonderful positive feedback and support from people, and it seems like you felt that really strongly, and that was really meaningful, right?
Also, I think yes, that was really meaningful. And I also think that when things cool down a little bit, we could have like a tiny party with like a few of my friends.
We definitely still want to have a party at some point, but that has some aspects of what we were planning, because we were planning, you know, a big sort of weekend long event, and we had, you know, 40 that were planning to come in from out of town. So, you know, the event that we were planning was
was big and complicated and would have been wonderful in a lot of ways, but also stressful.
I could probably set up like a tiny friend's birthday party Zoom or something. Or like we go on the Netflix party app and watch like a movie.
You want to just do that as like an addendum to your bar mitzvah as well? Yeah, we can definitely set that up. What do you think, Adam? Do you think that the virtual events are going to start taking over? It sounds like you've done at least one other episode about virtual events.
You know, I think there's a, and I was reading this article that said, we're going to have a tendency to think about what the reason is there, you know, weigh the purpose of doing it in person versus online, but I hope that eventually we can get back to some sense of normalcy, even though it's not going to be the same, where these events are done in person. Because, you know, when I had my bar mitzvah, and that was, I believe, middle of February.
Yeah, it was just a little over a month before my life.
And I think that was the perfect time. You know, because if it had been a few weeks later, we would have been in the same situation. And I felt that it, you know, went really well in person. It was really beautiful in person, but it was also really nice online. And I felt it was still very emotional and very touching online. And so I think it's really good that we have all this technology available that's allowing us to do this while we have to spend the majority of our time at home, sheltered in place. But hopefully, you know, that's not going to be the complete feature of something like a bar mitzvah or something like a wedding.
Yeah, that's what I hope too. I mean, I hope that we can learn some lessons from this that will help, you know, minimize some business travel and things like that that really aren't necessary for the kinds of meetings that people are, you know, traveling for and having a big carbon footprint. But I think for these really important milestone events, it'll be really good to be able to get back to doing them in person.
Okay, well, thank you so much to Amy and Milo for participating in this podcast episode. Make sure that you continue to listen to our other COVID-19 related episodes we are doing and learn how to, as we just talked about, use the power of technology to help you get through this difficult time. And make sure to tune in soon for the next episode. Bye-bye. Yes.